thank you to our faithful few for sticking it out till the very end here. I'm Dan Doherty. I'm from the University of Florida in agricultural and biological engineering, and I'm part of a USDA-funded research and mostly extension project called Southeast Climate Extension. And the goal of that project is to figure out ways we can kind of advance extension in terms of the materials that are available and the trainings that can be done to prepare agriculture to be more climate resilient and more efficient. So I'm talking today about rainfall intensity and what has changed in the Southeast in recent decades. So we wanted to just test simply if there had been changes in rainfall in this region. And the reason for that is we had been hearing from producers in our area that it seemed like they had been noticing more big rainfalls than there used to be, more high-intensity rainfalls. And so we wanted to look at the record and see if that was indeed the case or see what was going on. And, you know, the reason they're concerned about it is the reason we're concerned about it is because high-intensity rainfall can have big economic impacts in the short term for them and also in the long term, and can have important ecological impacts, you know, beyond the farm in terms of affecting water quality and sediment loads. So when we say rainfall intensity, we just mean the amount of rain in some time. So it's length per time, just amount of water per day, per hour. And when we think about impacts, we think about how rainfall intensity affects your the partitioning of your rainfall into runoff and infiltration. You know, that intensity along with topography and soil type and land management in terms of what's going on at the surface, that has a lot to do with where that rainfall goes. So what we need for intense rainfall is basically what we need for rainfall, just more of it. You need a lot of atmospheric water, and you need some strong upward motion to sort of condense and converge that water, and that usually happens through frontal systems or orographic forcing or a convective instability. So this slide, this is not our work. This is from Ken Kunkel and others. But this is showing what are the meteorological causes, what kinds of systems produce these extreme rains. They're talking about extreme in terms of a once in 5 year rain event. So if you look at this colorful figure here, you see the Southeast has particularly more intense rainfall than most other places in the U.S. You see about can't really read those numbers there, but it's about like that lightest green color is 100 to 125 millimeters per day is a once in 5 year event. That's about 4 to 5 inches per day. And you see that's pretty, in a lot of the Southeast, that's your once in 5 year rain event. And if you look at what sorts of systems are producing these rainfall, if you look just at the top left figure, the annual, looking at these once in 5 year rain events, the annual, what produces these systems on average annually, 51% are from tropical cyclones and 34% are from frontal systems. And that changes depending on what season you're in. If you're in fall, even more of them will be from tropical cyclones. But that's just some fundamentals about what produces these big rains. So when we're looking to test if there have been any changes in rainfall intensity, you have a number of choices to make in terms of setting up how you study this, in terms of your data source, what records you're looking at, and how you will your measure of intensity in terms of return period, if you're looking at, you know, like a once in 5 year rain event, if that return period is changing, or if you're using a fixed threshold or percentile based threshold, like a 99th percent rainfall intensity. And all these choices have trade-offs. You have to decide on if you're going to look at use a linear regression and look for a trend, or if you're going to look at some other statistical description between different decades or different multi-decadal periods, and you have to choose your time period. You know, what changes you see will be different if you're looking at the last 100 years or the last 20 years. And so there are always trade-offs here. And so we wanted to learn from stakeholders how they described rainfall intensity in terms of a few categories of qualitative intensity thresholds. We gave them these categories of good, moderately heavy, heavy, very heavy, or extreme. And we had a group of some farmers, some researchers, some extension, and we divided them into those three groups and had them go through this exercise, you know, on flip charts, and they wrote down, you know, put a number to each of these thresholds and to see what they would come up with in terms of defining these thresholds. And so we used this data we collect from them in combination with some recent literature that was done in in another part of the U.S. to come up with our fixed thresholds. So we're using fixed thresholds to describe four categories of rainfall intensity: moderately heavy, heavy, very heavy, and extreme. So you can see our thresholds there. About half an inch to an inch a day is moderately heavy, all the way up to extreme rainfall would be more than six inches per day. And so our data source is from a climate data network called the Global Historical Climatology Network, DALY, and that's managed by the National Climatic Data Center. And there were more than 400 stations in these five southeastern states. We're looking at just Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, and North Carolina. And after some screening for data quality and completeness of record, we were looking at the last 60 years, and so that reduced our number of stations to 335. And so what we did, based on trying to have some reference point with some of the recent literature in this area, was look at the last 60 years, splitting that into two 30-year periods, the most recent 30 years compared to the 30 years before that. So we're looking at 1954 to 1983 compared to our last 30 years, 1984 to 2013. And so this figure is just showing the difference in the number of extreme events at all of these 300-some stations in the southeast. And so we're just looking at our highest of our four rainfall categories, just the extreme rains here. And you see, of course, there's some variability around the region. The biggest difference you see is seven more in the last 30 years compared to the 30 years before that. And the biggest decrease you'd see is four less of those extreme rains in the last 30 years. If you look at just the top 25% of all these stations, the top 25% of increases, you'd see about 3.3 more extreme rains, and the lowest 25%, you'd see 1.5 less of these extreme rain events. But when you aggregate the whole, you know, when you look at the whole region as a whole, there were 811 from all these stations. There were 811 extreme rain events in the last 30 years. And in the 30 years before that, there were 558 of those extreme rains. So this shows this aggregation for all of the rainfall categories. And the one on the right is the extreme rainfall, the 152 millimeters a day, or 6 inches per day. And that's showing more than a 40% increase in the last 30 years. And that's based on a Poisson two-sample test that's statistically significant. And the lower of our two categories, moderately heavy and heavy, which are by some accounts sort of the good kinds of rain, the kind of rains you want in agriculture, you see some decreases in those categories. We also looked at, farmers aren't operating just on the annual averages, so we wanted to see when these changes in intensity were happening, what time of year in which you see these changes. And if you look, for example, at the extreme rains, where we see the most change, that category on the far right there, all of the increase is coming in the summer and in the fall, which you know, is important to producers because that's, you know, those are important times in terms of crop production and harvest, and during the fall it's when there would be maybe less residue cover there depending on the timing of operations. So the, you know, when these changes happen is important for production. And this is something, it's sort of a new rainfall intensity measure that we've introduced here, and it was something that was that came from some of the farmers that we work with. It's the instance of having half of your monthly rainfall occur in a single daily event, or half or more of your monthly rainfall happens in a single day. Some farmers had asked how often this happens. You know, they came with their rainfall records, and it had happened a lot in the, a couple years ago. It had happened a lot in the last few months, and they said, how common is this? Is it more common than it used to be? And so we tried to give them an answer about that. And so it kind of puts rainfall intensity, you know, it's a monthly specific measure of rainfall intensity, and it allows you to look at changes over time for a specific month. So this figure here, the wider bars, the darker blue bars, are your percent change in how often this happens. What's, does that mean I have 2 minutes or 5 minutes? Or?
I've got 2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay. And it also, the on average across all of the months, you have it happens 15% more in the last 30 years than it did in the 30 years prior, that you have half or more than half of your rainfall in a month occurring in a single daily event. And you can see in the different months how what the return period of this happening is. You know, in July it happens once every about 8 years, in October about once every once every 2.5 years. So this is a little bit about attribution. You know, if you're looking at climate changing, there's a physical reason for that change. We don't always know what it is. I'll sort of skip this, but the common explanations are temperature increase, a warmer atmosphere can hold more water, and land use change in a variety of ways are often used to explain this. Like I mentioned at the beginning, farmers care a lot about rainfall intensity because it costs them money. When their soil leaves, that costs them money now, and it's like their, you know, soil is a hugely important resource. If our climate is becoming more challenging, if you're losing soil, you're kind of losing a big way to, like, make your system more resilient. So that's why they're into it. And part of what we try to do is, you know, kind of figure out what the shared goals are with producers. You know, they care about production costs and soil health, and so we try to connect any climate impacts to those sorts of things. And we have a website called AgriClimate, and we have an exhibit here. If you're interested in learning more about this, come check us out down in the exhibit area over there. It's a free web resource that allows producers to make the connection between climate variability and agricultural impacts, and there's a lot of educational resources there. So I'm happy to take a question if you have any.
You showed the map.
Yeah.
And very close area, some area the increase of the frequency, but why other is the decrease of the
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, you see some stations right very close to each other that show increases and some that show decreases. It's unclear. I don't know why that is. I mean, it's when you kind of look at the averages for a whole state or for a whole region, that's when you kind of notice the changes, but it's I'm not sure why you see differences very close to each other. It could be a sensor thing. I mean, one good thing about these sensors are they've been kind of the same gauges that have been used for like 100 years. But there could be some very, you know, kind of local thing there in terms of where the sensor is. You know, if it's next to a forest or if it's next to, you know, some other kind of land cover. All right, thanks.
Thank you.